It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
There's a price to pay to win a championship. How we practice is how we're going to play. It's time. It's time all these distractions in, and we start getting to work and start doing it the right way.
Nobody flip. Give the ball up and over.
Short Brian Smith, baseline, 8-footer, in and out, we're good. Oh, my goodness, takes it down by Porter. Oh, my goodness. Hello, Abbeville, Alabama, a one-handed slam.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac.
Reach in down, he knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah!
I tell you, you ain't going to run get any popcorn if we keep this up.
I knew we could be competitive in men's basketball at Auburn. I didn't think that championships were necessarily in the cards. Auburn's a special place. I had a special team.
Bryce eyes the bucket, spins it up. In and out, no. Rebound, Washington saved it. But Brown is there for three in the corner. Yeah,
All right.
Auburn leads.
Get back, play some defense now.
We've come a long way. And just grateful for the opportunity. Understand that if it wasn't for Auburn bringing me to be their basketball coach, I never would have had the opportunity to realize, obviously, one of my goals as a college coach is to get to the Final Four.
That does it. History has been made. The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, live from the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road, across from USA, here's your host, Doug Holton.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome in to Tiger Talk Overtime at the Voodoo Wing Company here on Old Shell. It is going to be an exciting show tonight. We're going to talk lots of college basketball and football, and we hope you'll come out and join us here at the Voodoo Wing Company and get some of the tremendous wings here and, of course, a cold beer to go with it. Enjoy some of the atmosphere and the games on the big screen here at the Voodoo Wing Company tonight. Well, college basketball is in the air. The Tigers enjoying perhaps their best season ever with a win Tuesday night against the Alabama Crimson Tide in Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa. The Tigers come out victorious 81-77. Tonight on the show, we'll be talking with Dylan Cardwell, the big man for the Auburn Tigers, who's played an important role in the past couple of games, backing up Walker Kessler when Walker got in foul trouble. So we'll be talking to Dylan in the next segment. Also on the show tonight, Auburn legend Joe Champy, who had quite a run back in the 1980s with the Auburn women's basketball team, taking them to three national title games. We'll talk to Coach Champy about that and also about the men's team. And then in the final segment tonight, you want to stay tuned for that, we'll be talking to Wendell Green Sr., Wendell Green's dad, who is the director at the Michigan Playmakers, the travel team in Detroit, where Wendell is from. So a great show tonight, and we want to kick it off with some thoughts from Bruce Pearl, the head coach of the best basketball team in America, as the Tigers head toward their battle at Ole Miss.
You know, they know our stuff. You know, they played us more than anybody in the league the last 7 years. They'll run some 1-3-1. They'll run some 2-3. They'll change defenses in the middle of possessions. They just do a nice job. They keep you off balance, and so they can bother you with that. Really, really good defensively. And now that they've got Ruffin, young man that we had committed for about a week, and when he verbally committed to us, I think coach went after him really hard. And got him to stay home. And he's a terrific player. And Deshaun, as you know, I like little guards, and he's really taking them, you know, to another level, hard to guard, ball screens, and, you know, things like that. I think the kid, another guy they beat us on, Matthew Morrell, you know, from Memphis, just a, you know, has made as much progress from freshman year to sophomore year as anybody in the league. You know, an elite scorer, great shooter, competitor. And Brakefield is a kid that we recruited as well. So they got like three guys that said no to Auburn, and those three. And then I think Nasir Brooks, I think, you know, one of the oldest players in all of college basketball. He makes a huge difference. He's a legit 7 foot, and he's a factor at the rim.
The Rebels do have some athletes. Should be a great battle Saturday night in Oxford at 7:30. And you can catch that one on the Auburn Network right here on FM Talk 106.5. One thing the Tigers would like to do, certainly, in that ball game and the rest of the way in the SEC schedule, keep Walker Kessler out of foul trouble. The last couple of games, he hasn't played a lot of minutes, and that is something the Tigers need him to do, even though Bruce Pearl knows his backup is pretty good also.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, that's what Dylan Cardwell is his, you know, coming behind him. Was so vital. That's why the last two games when Walker's been in foul trouble, Dylan's been terrific. And Jabari Smith even said it. Jabari Smith said after the Alabama game, Dylan Cardwell was our most important player out there on the floor because he played such good defense and made so many stops and stepped up when Walker was in foul trouble. So it's got to be a next man up mentality.
From Bruce Pearl today as the Tigers get ready for the Ole Miss ball game, and we'll be talking, as I mentioned earlier, a little bit with Dylan Cardwell in the next segment, as he is the next man up if Walker Kessler gets in foul trouble. The Ole Miss game coming up again 7:30 on Saturday night right here on FM Talk 106.5. Joining us now on the phone lines from AuburnSports.com, Brian Stoltz. And Brian, great to have you in for a few minutes, as always, here on the show.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Let's talk about that basketball team a little bit. With a win Saturday night, they are number four right now in Gonzaga, and Baylor has already lost. Gonzaga is ahead. What do you think? The chances of them being number one look pretty good to me.
Yeah, I think with the win at Alabama, including the win over LSU, I think those are two big wins that Auburn needed. And if the win against Ole Miss, they put up a big win against Ole Miss, I think they should be ranked number one.
I know you wrote an article, I think you put it up today, about Jabari Smith. He continues to get better. Probably his best ball game to date against Alabama Tuesday night, a career high 25 in that ball game. And I know you wrote a nice article on him today.
Yeah, Jabari, Bruce was asked about his all the hype and pressure that Jabari faced coming in as the highest-ranked player to ever sign with Auburn. And Bruce Pearl said, matter of fact, that Jabari's exceeded all his expectations. And for him to say that, and then him to say that he's the best jump shooter that he's ever coached. And you think about all the good jump shooters that Pearl has had at Tennessee and Auburn, including other stops, and that's a big compliment for the young kid. And, you know, he showed up against Alabama, not just on the offensive side, but with four blocks, some rebounds and some steals, and, you know, he's showing why he should be the number one pick in the NBA draft this year.
Yep. We'll look for your stuff at AuburnSports.com. Quickly, some football. I wanted to ask you about Nick Broms and Troxell coming back on the offensive line. Is that a positive for the Auburn Tigers for next season as far as recruiting is concerned?
Well, if they don't sign anybody else, it's definitely a positive. You know, any sign of consistency, you know, Broms and Troxell have been there for a while, so any signs of consistency is definitely a positive, but, you know, they've struggled in the past, and I don't know if it's fifth year will help any, but, you know, it's nice to see that these kids are coming back. They want to compete for Auburn, and they trust in Harsin, and they want to block and protect and the next quarterback, whoever that is, and you know, it cannot be seen as a negative sign, I don't think.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to signing day number two and spring practice coming up
before too long. Brian, always good to have you along on the show. And again, AuburnSports.com if people want to check out your work. We'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, sounds good, buddy. Bye.
All right. Brian Stoltz of AuburnSports.com. When we come back, as I mentioned, Dylan Cardwell is with us, our special guest from the Auburn Tigers basketball team. And later on in the show, Joe Champy and Wendell Green Sr. Should be an entertaining show. Stay with us, and the phone lines are open, 343-0106. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Sale Road and Doug Holton.
All right, thank you very much. Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night, as always. And we will be opening up the phone lines. 343-0106 is our number in the next segment, as legendary coach Joe Champy is on tap to join us at the midway point. And a little later on, as I mentioned, Wendell Green Sr., Wendell Green's dad, will join us to talk a little basketball in the final segment tonight. Right now, we want to get you to our interview that we did a little earlier in the day with a very important member of the Auburn basketball team. As we mentioned, the guy that comes in when Walker Kessler gets in foul trouble, which he has done in the past couple of games and in other situations as well. But Dylan Cardwell, our guest earlier, and here's how that conversation went. All right, Dylan, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the win over Alabama the other night. Has the team kind of gotten their legs back on the ground, their feet back on the ground after that one, or does it take a while?
We're back to normal right now. It was an exciting atmosphere to be a part of. You know, it's a rivalry between us and Alabama. So, you know, we got our win, we celebrated, but now it's back to business. We're ready for the next one, putting all our focus on this next one, one game at a time, one day at a time.
Your teammate, Jabari, paid you a pretty big compliment after the game. He said you were the most important player in the ball game. Tell me, what does that feel like to have him say that?
It feels pretty cool to say, but I want to give all the credit to the coaches and the people who are part of it, our fans as well. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for the coaches believing in me and putting me in position, as well as God putting me in a position to be able to go out there and play, and the fans just having our back out there in a hostile environment. And, you know, Jabari did his thing. I always tell Jabari he needs to take us home whenever it's a close game. We depend on Jabari. Jabari is our most important player in my eyes, and he keeps us together. He gets us rolling, and we go as far as he goes. And all, with all due respect to everybody else on this team.
Just listening to your comments there, it seems to me one of the great assets of this basketball team, other than depth, is the unselfishness. Like you were talking, how you guys rely on each other and talk about each other, don't like to talk about yourself.
Yeah.
Tell me about that a little bit and how you guys are so close.
It's just a lot of time with each other. We know each other like, you know what I'm saying? We know what we don't like, what we do like, and no one likes to be selfish on this team. At the end of the day, we all have one common goal, just be the best team that we can be and live with the results with that. We get better every day, and we just have to live with that. And we can't get better if we're just worrying about us. We have to worry about each other.
CBS came out, I think, yesterday with Auburn ranked number one in their rankings, and I'm sure if you beat Ole Miss, some others will follow. How does that affect you, and do you think this team is number one, the best team in the country right now?
I don't care for rankings. Ranking doesn't matter in March Madness, so that's how I look at it. I'm trying to be number one ranked team when it comes to holding that trophy up. I don't care about what I'm ranked on January, whatever the day is, 13th. I want to be ranked number one in April 20th or so. So I'm more worried about the end result than I am of what we're ranked January 13th.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure our team feels the exact same way. At the end of the day, we don't care about rankings. We don't care about anything else comes with rankings, but we're all worried about getting better and being a team that's going to hold up that NCAA trophy.
But it's good to be in the conversation, right?
I mean, yeah, it helps drive us. Now we have a bigger target on our back, and we're hungry. We're hungry for more. So whoever comes at us, we want the best shot.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about individually your second year at Auburn.
What are the things that you are trying to do right now or looking at to make you better as a basketball player? Is there anything particular that you're working on?
Yeah, be more intense. I love Draymond Green and I love Kevin Garnett. Those are two guys to look at. Those are guys that approach the game with intensity, and all they care about is defense and rebounding, and their energy and how they impact the game. I'm not here for stats. I'm not here to put up points. I'm here to do my role and impact the best that I can and help my team accomplish their goals by just doing my role to my best. Whenever they call me to step up and score on offense, I will. Whenever they call me to step up on defense, I will. But right now I'm focused on rebounding, energy, and defense more than anything, and just being a vocal leader when the time comes.
Coming out of high school, you mentioned stats. You didn't have monster stats coming out of high school, but you were ranked pretty highly in the recruiting rankings out of Augusta, Georgia. How did that lead you to Auburn and Coach Pearl?
Well, what led me to Auburn was God, really. I could talk about that all day. But if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here at Auburn. Auburn was not really in my top three choices. But thankfully, God blessed me to not be able to play my senior year, and he shifted my focus. And when he shifted my focus, the door opened to Auburn because it kind of stalled my recruiting process. But what brought me here to Auburn is just the pace of play. I'm athletic center. I want to guard 1 through 5. And that's what BP system does. And they're also a huge on development. So I am developing my offensive skill set behind the scenes. I'm just not showing it right now. But just the development process and the tradition that BP's starting, that's what was the most attractive about Auburn, as well as I can't forget about the people here and the community, as well as the jungle, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You played against Wendell in high school, right? Your junior season?
Yeah, I did. Final Four of high school. Yes, sir.
What do you remember about that ball game? And how much did you notice him in that ball game?
I mean, it was easy to notice Wendell because he's like 5'1". But other than that, I mean, he played great defense. He was a leader on that team. I feel like if he wasn't in that game, we would have blew him out. But he kept that team together. He played his role, which he's great at no matter what role he plays. He's a smart guy. And like I said, if it wasn't for him being on that team, I feel like we would have won. But other than that, he was just a dog. He's a chip on his shoulder, and he's a great player, great leader. And I just love him.
What a great thing it is to have a guy like Wendell, and not only him, but Zepp and KD also, that can penetrate and distribute the basketball to the big guys like they do. That's got to be fun to play with.
Yeah, it's a real blessing. It makes me want to do more for the guys. They reward me for doing the little things, and it's just like, and vice versa. So whenever they need a screen, I got them. You know what I'm saying? Whenever they need me to help them on a ball screen, I got them. So they just make sure we're all happy, and this is fun to play with these guys. It's electric, to be honest.
Tell me a little bit about the goofy side of Dylan Cardwell. The Karate Kid thing the other night that you guys did, the football games with the shirt coming off, and the jungle. That's got to be a blast to play in front of also.
Yeah. So to start off, I'm a huge football fan. I love football. My uncle is Ronnie Garner. He coached here for 8 years. Before this Iron Bowl, I was 3-0 at Iron Bowls. I was at the Kick Six. I was at the 2017 Iron Bowl, and I was at the 2019 Iron Bowl on an unofficial visit. So all I knew was W's when it came to me and being at the Iron Bowl. So this year we had the lead, and I was just excited. I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to go 4-0. I've registered on the field again, and then we lost. So those players, when we lost, those players came over to where we were at, where the basketball team's at, and started mocking us with doing the karate crane, the crane kick or whatever. So we were like, all right, bet. So at the team, we kind of talked about doing it back maybe like 2 days before the game, but only when we won. We weren't going to showboat, or we were going to play the game right, but we had to make sure we had to win first. So we got the job done, and we were like, you know what? We're time for some get back and some payback. So as soon as the buzzer hit, as you saw me, Cage, Barry, we all did it at the same time, which is insane. And it was just a fun moment. But that's why I love college basketball, because you don't get that anywhere else. You don't get that in high school. You don't get that in the NBA. Like, I love the petty side of basketball. And that's what it takes. You know, you got to be competitive. You got to be dominant. You got to be intense. So, and then going on from there, the Jumbotron, Jumbotron, that's another thing I want to give to God, because I kind of in a shell, a little bit. I was an athlete first, kind of in this first semester, kind of, but then that made me be a student first. That Jumbotron experience made me be a student first. And it just opened up so many doors for me and so many connections as student wise. But no, it was a crazy experience. So I'll take you through that story. I've never been on Jumbotron before, if you couldn't tell. But I was just dancing. I was liking the music, and it was like an internal tap on the shoulder. Something told me to turn around. And as soon as I turn around, I like see myself in the Jumbotron. So like 5 minutes before, I was joking around. I was like, you know what? What if I just took my shirt off? Maybe I get in the Jumbotron. So like 5 minutes before I even got in the Jumbotron, I had my shirt off already, but no one was paying attention. So I put it back on. I was just joking around. So then as soon as I turned back and looked around, I just took my shirt off and just started going crazy, hooping or hollering or whatever. And I just did the dance moves that my mama taught me, man. So it was a fun experience. It was, I didn't know it was going to come with, you know, keeping that up with the rest of the season, but it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing just to be on the Jumbotron almost every game and helping the fans rally out there and being like the second hype man of Auburn. So it's fun and it's cool, man. I love it. I love doing it. I love Auburn football.
And the thoughts of Dylan Cardwell, the big man for the Auburn Tigers. Our conversation recorded a bit earlier in the day, and we'll put some more of that up for you on WarEagleTV.com if you want to watch it tomorrow and this weekend as the Tigers get close to the Ole Miss game. And Auburn football and Auburn basketball overlapping there a little bit as the Tigers basketball team, a big part of the crowd when the Auburn football team was playing this past fall. As I mentioned before, when we come back, we'll talk some more college basketball as we switch gears a little bit. Former coach of the women's team at Auburn, Joe Champy, is set to join us in the next segment. Should be fun to talk about women's basketball a little bit. And, of course, Coach Champy's thoughts on the men's team as well as they get ready for a big battle in the SEC this weekend. We'll be back with that. And Wendell Green Sr. also coming a little bit later in the show. Stay with us on Tiger Talk Overtime. The phone line's open when we come back.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road and Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back into the show, everybody. We're here at the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road. Want to invite you to come out and join us here. Lots of action going on the big screens. Lots of great food. My friends here eating wings. What kind of wings do y'all have tonight? The buffalo sandwich. And the PB&J wings. Great stuff here at the Voodoo Wing Company. Invite you to come out and see us here on Old Shell. And, of course, when you're in Auburn on College Street, the Voodoo Wing Company there as well. Let's continue to talk some college basketball tonight. We want to welcome into our microphones the legendary coach of the Auburn Tigers, Coach Joe Champy from Auburn, Alabama. And, Coach, great to have you with us on the show tonight.
Appreciate you inviting me on, Doug. Just what an exciting time of the year right now with both men's and women's basketball and Voodoo Wings.
Absolutely. I know you've had some Voodoo Wings up there in Auburn. And we were talking about the men's team, of course, and the possible possibility of them being ranked number one if they could knock off Ole Miss this weekend. And we were saying that Auburn's never had a number one ranked team, but I guess that's not really the case. Because I guess you guys were ranked number one in the 80s, right?
We were. There was a pretty good, I think about 22 weeks. Who's counting, though? But we were ranked number one. But at this time of the year, it doesn't matter. And Coach Pearl possesses that winning gene. He understands that rankings right now are nothing short of just for talk shows like us and just for – your sportscasters on TV to talk about, but nothing more.
Yeah,
right now. But proud of the team. They're a team that has a great defensive resolve. They're a tournament ready team with what they already did in the Bahamas, playing Connecticut, Loyola of Chicago, and Syracuse. So they understand the game, and they're a very exciting team to watch.
Yeah, they are. And outside of that loss to Connecticut, as you mentioned, a double overtime loss, they would be undefeated at this point. Coach,
you've been through this
before, like Coach Pearl is going through right now, the high ranking and all the praise coming from the media and whatever. And he's got to put the blinders on the team, and you had to do that as well when you're at Auburn. How do you accomplish that with your team? I know somebody asked him that in the show in the previous hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, some legendary coaches call that rat poison. So you have – you know, probably the most underrated part of coaching is the ability to motivate. And then the second part is having success. How do you handle success? And, you know, as a coach, you've got to have short-term goals for them, get them excited about who they are right now and who they're playing next, and just measure. You know, every game you have to analyze, you know, who you were in that last game, who you are right now, and who do you want to be in March? Because that's the goal of championship teams, is to get to March and get a good season. I believe that big win at Tuscaloosa the other night helped with our seeding, but that number one ranking, those guys are doing the rankings. They never put a whistle around their neck to coach a team up.
Yeah. And, you know, the Southeastern Conference, as you mentioned, every game is a big game. There are so many good teams in the SEC now. I think undoubtedly the top conference in college basketball, a little bit different than it was 20 years ago. And, you know, every win in the conference means something. And you could lose two or three of those ball games in a hurry without looking, right?
Oh, you certainly can. If you let up, or you let what you're doing offensively hinder what you do defensively, you have an issue. I mean, so many good teams, and everybody wants to know, well, how do the leads change so much? Well, that's called the three-point shot. That three-point, you live and die by the three. If you're going to play a high-tempo game, And you're going to shoot the three. Well, the three can either put you in or shoot you out of games. But what Auburn does better than most is their ability to defend with a 9-to-10 player rotation, and then they wear you down physically and emotionally because of their defensive pressure.
Exactly right. A lot of depth on the Auburn basketball team. And I was thinking about that earlier, Coach. In the 1980s, of course, you and Sonny were at Auburn coaching, and you both had great success during those years. And since that time, Auburn hasn't had a ton of success in basketball, on the men's side at least. And how has Coach Pearl done that in the past few years? I'm trying to think how many years he's been at Auburn now, 8 or 9 years?
I think this is number 8. Well, basically, he just embraced the opportunity. He embraced the Auburn, you know, fans and alumni, and came in with the understanding that this is a football school first. And understanding that, understanding Auburn, the type of school we are, that he came in, embraced all of that, educated the fans, especially the students, about the type of ball they're going to play and about the excitement they're going to have in the arena. But the excitement comes from the students in the jungle. And they've been a great part of Auburn basketball, collegiate basketball, probably one of the best home court advantages in college basketball.
And that is amazing, isn't it? Because it hasn't always been the case, obviously, at Auburn. And to put that together in the last 5 years and have all the TV commentators and everybody talking about Auburn as the best home court advantage in college basketball, that's an amazing feat.
It certainly is. One sportscaster had mentioned that it's the cathedral of chaos in the Auburn arena, and broadcasting games in there right in front of the jungle. I certainly agree with that, but the coach understands the game. The biggest thing, Doug, that a coach has to do is build a trust with this team, and Coach Pearl does that as good as anyone. He designs an offense that fits his personnel. Young players love to play in his schemes because everyone has the green light. And that is a challenge in itself, but he has great concepts defensively. Offensively, he knows how to isolate the great players like Jabari Smith this year and let him take over a game just like he did up in Tuscaloosa early on. It was his basketball early, and then from there, they trust their minutes. They share, they get on the court, and they have quality minutes, 10 guys. So it's a pretty good mixture of what they're doing. You know, as a coach, once you gain a player's trust, you never try to violate that. You tell him he's going to play. These are the principles of why you're going to play and how many minutes you're going to get. And then they trust you to have the leadership and the understanding to give them playing time, because that's the most important part, no matter what player. From the teams we had, from his teams, the champion with the team Sonny has, it's all about PT. They want that playing time, and they want the touches with that ball.
And I think, Coach, he has really opened the floodgates now for recruiting with Jabari, as you mentioned, Sharif Cooper, Isaac Okoro, Chuma Okeke. That NBA factor is definitely in play at Auburn now with the guys that they're bringing in.
Oh, it certainly is. But you ask yourself why. If you're a novice to the game, you enjoy seeing them. You enjoy watching them play. They play so hard. They play smart. Their effort is there. The hustle points are there. But the bottom line is who they are as people. They develop. Coach Pearl and his staff, his son Steven, Chad Pruitt, Wes Flanagan, all the fellows on the coaching staff, they just do a great job of player development on an individual basis. They're in there working on their shot. They're working on their footwork, working with our strength coach, Damon Davis, to getting stronger, the nutritional part of it, and just the total package. So as a high school senior, you want to play in a program that improves your game both physically and mentally.
Absolutely, Coach. Visiting with the legendary Coach Joe Champy of the Auburn Tigers here at the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Shell Road. Invite you to come out and see us. And, of course, as we mentioned before, the Voodoo Wing Company on College Street in Auburn as well. Coach, I was watching the women's team before I headed out here tonight. They were playing Florida. I don't know if you caught any of that ball game or not, but I thought Coach Johnny and her team were going to get the first SEC victory of the year. It slipped away kind of at the end. But what's your impression of what they're doing and what the future is for the women's team?
Well, they lost a tough one today, that's for sure. Yes, I did watch it, and it came down to, sadly, when we were up by one, a defensive mistake by one of our players just intentionally fouled Florida, and for whatever reason. But that's a teaching moment now for Coach Harris. She understands the game. She had great experience at Mississippi State winning, and she's brought that over. The only thing is, when you're an assistant, Doug, you make suggestions. As when you're in that seat she's in now, you have to make decisions.
And defensively, she's got a good philosophy. The pace of play that they like to play with can prove to be a difference maker in their success. She just needs the players to believe in her system and to trust it. And that's, as I mentioned earlier, that's where they have to go. I had a chance to talk to them on Tuesday before they went out, and I just explained to them about role-playing and having that resolve no matter if you're not scoring or if your opponent is scoring. You have to have that defensive effort to stop and create opportunities for your serve by hustle points, by taking a charge, by deflecting a pass, by getting a transition basket, you know, getting an offensive rebound and putting it back in. But to do that for 40 minutes.
And yep.
They do that in segments, but they don't do it for 40 minutes when they start finding out to keep that effort and sustain the effort. Hopefully they'll get the job done.
Yep. Coach, we're out of time. Always appreciate you visiting, and hopefully we can do it again real soon.
Okay, Doug. Anytime. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Joe Champy, legendary coach of the Auburn Tigers, back with Wendell Green Sr. in just a minute. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Voodoo Wing Company on Old Sale Road and Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Back for the final segment of Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night. Glad you're with us here on FM Talk 106.5, and we continue to talk some college basketball, college football taking a little bit of a break right now, and the men's basketball team really on a great run at Auburn. They've won, I think, 12 or 13 in a row, the big win over Alabama Tuesday night in Coleman Coliseum, 81-77. And looking forward to the ball game this Saturday night at Ole Miss, a 7:30 contest, I think, on the SEC Network and here on FM Talk 106.5. I want to continue to talk some hoops right now as we welcome into our microphones Wendell Green Sr., the father of Wendell Green on the Auburn basketball team. He's the director of the Michigan Playmakers up in Detroit, I think, where Wendell is from. And Wendell, great to have you on the show tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Tell me a little bit. I know you're proud of what Wendell is doing at Auburn right now. After the ball game the other night, I think Coach Pearl mentioned that he likes to fire it up from anywhere on the court. I know he's done that for a long time, and he makes a pretty good percentage of those.
Yes, he does. He's been shooting like that for a while, man, since he was probably 8, 9 years old, honestly. He's always had a passion for shooting deep. He's trying to perfect it. He's been doing it for a long time.
How did he learn to do that? Did you encourage him to shoot from a long way away, or it was his height or what?
He started playing basketball when he was 3 years old, and he went outside. So he went outside in the front yard when he was 4 and a half to about 5 and a half every day. So he began shooting, and his range was extended. He was pretty much at the free throw line when he was about 5 years old. That's probably where his range was. So the more he started because I didn't let him shoot that far. And the more he, it's just really muscle and repetition. It's not like you have to be, with that much stronger than anybody else to be able to shoot from 25, 30 feet. All it is repetition, So he's been doing his body. I couldn't tell you how many shots he's taken over the last, 15 years, so it's just muscle memory.
Yeah, I can imagine. And we mentioned, I think, last week on the show, what a great distributor of the basketball he is also. Not only has the deep shot,
which we've seen plenty of times, but he loves, it seems like he really enjoys distributing the ball to Walker Kessler and Dylan Downlow, those guys, and dishing it off to them for the slam. He likes to do that, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. So that comes from us to do it. And this game playmakers, it kind of speaks for itself. So it's kind of, we've always had an organization since he was about 6 years old. It's always been like play. So after the practice, is making plays, whether you know it's the pass or the, you know, taking a charge on defense, you know, making the right read or jump, not everything, is always making the right play. So he's always been, that's what he's been talking. He's always in his mind, let me make the right play, the right winning play, you know.
I think I noticed on your page, Wendell, that some people have your son in the first team All-SEC team right now as we stand here in January. Thinking about that and where he was before this season started, that's got to be an amazing thing to look at for a dad to see his son there.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. The best thing about it is that, you know, our conversations that we have is always about the team. It's always, you know, when the SEC or, you know, when the next game or where the guys understand it's going to be. We can try to get to the number one spot and get the best seed. So when you, as a coach, I know when you're thinking as a team basketball player, you know, the individual stats, they come, you know, without you even looking for, you know, that's just part of, you know. So when you're always winning and always thinking of the team first, those individual stats, they usually come. You know, when you're trying to, it's just not to whatever they call it, you know, you really don't, it never really works out. So he's always, you know, a team guy, you know, so whatever happens in anything, it does, you know, in terms of those things, it's not, you know, something he, you know, especially his.
Right. And that's one of the great things. We talked to Dylan a little bit earlier. One of the great things about this basketball team is their unselfishness and their team play, even though they have 12 guys that can play in the game. They're so unselfish, and Coach Pearl is really first of all recruited those type players and then instilled that in them in this team.
I would say the first part is really key. I think he has made a conscious effort to recruit those type of kids because, honestly, when you, you know, no matter how much he instills in it, which he's done a good job with it, but if you, it's kind of late in the game to get guys that have played a certain type of way or selfish brand of basketball or not being team oriented. It's kind of too late when they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old to get them to play that, you know, to play that way. So I think they've done a great job in terms of identifying guys that are team guys that win, you know, and I say win, you know, want to win every drilling practice and every competing everything, you know. So I think it's a good job of putting a host of, 12, 13 guys together that are about the same common goal, you know, and rapping about that goal. You know, I don't know a lot of kids when they were, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, but I'm sure that just from what I see, what they're doing, and how they compete, and how they saw that they're about the team, I'm sure they were kind of doing that when they were young, also.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we got a couple more minutes, Wendell, before you have to wrap up, but I want to ask you about your relationship with Wendell Jr. before we get off the air here. How much do you still talk back and forth? How much does he rely on your input now that he's at Auburn and playing in the SEC?
Well, it's good. It's funny because I can just sit back now. I don't have to coach him. Sit back and watch. We talk every day, but in terms of, it's more of, you know, school. How's everything going? Are the cool? Are you healthy? You know, are you having the right diet? You know, just mentally focused. Is talking about the grind and in terms of basketball, it's very minimal. You know, it's just, you know, go out and play the way you always play. I don't say much anymore. You know, and I really haven't said much in a long time. It's been a long time, maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. I really haven't said anything. It's just, again, we've been in the gym so much and so long, you know, since he was, you know, like I say, 3, 4 years old. It's just muscle memory now. It's just believing in everything you've done you know, all the work you've put in, it's just believing that, and he does, you know. So we have a great relationship, and we've always had a great relationship. It's been, I know it's tough for a lot of dads. I've got a bunch of coaches that coach under me. I've been around basketball my life. It's tough for dads coaching their kids. But for me, it's been a natural, you know, seamless transition. You know what I mean? We always used to get with the car or at the practice, and we may talk every blue moon about basketball, about what's happening. But for the most part, we leave everything on the court, you know. And then when we get out, leave that gym, it's just about, you know, life or about anything but basketball. You know, we may watch film or do those things when he was younger, but.
Right,
trying to leave everything at gym, and I think that's helped. I would have let us have a strong, healthy relationship, you know, throughout this process. You know?
Yep. Hey, Wendell, we're out of time. Appreciate you visiting with us. We'd like to do it again this basketball season.
No question. I appreciate you.
All right, Wendell Green Sr. from Detroit, Michigan, the father of Wendell Green on the Auburn team. We're out of time for Tiger Talk Overtime tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. War Eagle, everybody, enjoy the Ole Miss game. Good night from the Voodoo Wing Company.